Last year, we stood here at this Baseball Canada banquet and talked to you about your great first year in the big leagues, and taking over for Trevor Hoffman, and now we can talk about established closer in the majors, half a Tip O'Neill, a trip to the playoffs. This is a pretty big year for you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, that's for sure. It started off on the wrong foot, but it definitely got a lot sweeter, especially towards the end. It was a great season.
We don't have to talk about Ramon Hernandez around here, and he's not in the NL Central anymore for you. But it is kind of funny that that's the first thing that you bring up, because everything else was so positive.
You know, I think sometimes you just got to joke around. You know, that day was not any day that I envisioned, that's for sure. The next day was my birthday. The next day also marked my first full official year in the big leagues, day 172, which is 1 year. So, you know, I was feeling great. I was having my my great high for the day, and you know, you got to be there for my first opening day. So it was a great day, except for it ending the way it did. So you just kind of think about it and what went wrong, and you just let it go. After that, you just kind of joke about it, and that's the only way, I think, for myself, to just really let it go.
Well, and it seemed to work, too, letting it go, because the rest of the season was spectacular. What was it like going through a pennant race and having it be close in the middle of August and then having you guys pull away and getting into the playoffs and taking it all the way to the NLCS?
It was amazing. You know, the intensity at Miller Park was just outstanding. You know, to be there every single day, to have the crowd that we do every single day, it's just incredible. You know, it's the smallest market in all sports, yet they pack the house every single time. You know, the crowd in there was deafening. I remember running in from the bullpen and just having the waves of sound, you know, kind of run through my ears with each step, and it's something that I'll never forget. And you know, just with the whole team, you know, coming together the way we did, really going on the run the way that we did in August, you know, to pull in first place. And you know, get to the playoffs, and you know, have that battle that we did against the Diamondbacks, and have the battle like we did against the Cardinals. It was just an outstanding year on a team level, and you know, to be a part of it is just truly special.
And to be that closer, that last line of defense, is got to make it even, you know, so much is on your shoulders. It's a team game, sure, but you know, you hand a lead to a guy with three outs to go, knowing that he's going to shut the game down. That's a big thing. And we saw here with the Blue Jays, they weren't all in the ninth inning, but 25 blown saves for the Jays, that can really let the air out of a ball club.
Yeah, it definitely can. You know, I think, in all honesty, the best thing that happened was the 6th, 7th, 8th innings that happened before me. You know, when we picked up K-Rod, it almost essentially became a five-inning ball game. You know, we had Takashi Saito coming in there. We had LaTroy Hawkins. We had K-Rod. You know, picking up those 6, 7, 8 innings, and they were doing absolutely outstanding every single time. You know, I think when you can rely on the great starting pitching staff that we have, and then you can rely on a great bullpen like we had, it helps you just kind of focus on your job that you have. You know, you don't have to think about anything else that's going on in the seventh inning. You can, you know, myself, I go through my stretching routines at that time, my mental approach to the hitters that I may face in the ninth. So I don't have to, you know, be on the bench looking, you know, seeing what's happening in the game. I know I can relax a little bit and just get myself mentally and physically prepared for warming up and going out there in the ninth.
I'm sure you don't pay a lot of attention to the stuff that we say, but when K-Rod did come over in that trade, there were a lot of people who said, oh, no, John Axford's a closer. K-Rod's not going to be happy. Meanwhile, the first story out of Milwaukee was, well, they might share a little bit. That didn't wind up happening. Then more media, more fans are saying, oh, K-Rod hates it in Milwaukee, and yet he accepts arbitration. He's coming back. So obviously that wasn't the situation at all.
No, you know, I think the media just tries to hype things up a little bit more than what's actually seen. You know, everything that happens behind closed doors in the clubhouse, you know, happens there for a reason, and we know what's actually going on with the team. Obviously, we had the success that we had because we were such a well-molded group. You know, if there's any animosity or anything going on in the clubhouse, that's just going to wreck a team. You know, and I think our team is special for that reason. You know, we had so many great guys in that clubhouse, so many guys, like, everyone's just close. I think that's the biggest thing. You can talk to anybody, you can hang out with anybody, you can have dinner one-on-one with anybody in that clubhouse, and everything's going to be cool and everything's going to be fine. So, obviously, everything was fine. You know, K-Rod did a great job in the role that he was given. I know, obviously, he's been a closer the entire time in his whole career. He's been fantastic in that role. And, obviously, you know, you know, he wants to be, I think, in that role, and he deserves to be in that role at some point. But I think, you know, he knows the team. He knows Milwaukee. He knows what kind of team that we're going to have once again this year. And I think he's just looking forward to coming back and competing, because that's all he does when he's out there on the mound. He did an amazing job in the eighth inning, and he's just such a competitor.
With John Axford, and maybe a pitcher is the wrong guy to ask this to, but you know, the Brewers are likely to lose Prince Fielder. Ryan Braun's going to miss the first third of the season, and people are thinking, well, you know what, maybe this Milwaukee team's not going to be that good, but you still return Markham and Greinke and Gallardo and you and K-Rod. Pitching is still a big strength for this team, and maybe you can overcome the losses of the big bats if you still have the big arms.
Yeah, and honestly, we still don't know about those other two players right now. You know, Prince is still up in the air. You know, same with Ryan, with his hearing coming up. But, you know, we picked up other sides also with Ramirez from the Cubs. You know, we're going to have a great offensive bat there, a great third baseman. So I think the pieces are still there. Obviously, the pitching is going to be great once again. All the holes are going to be filled in the bullpen, I think, come spring training. Our entire starting staff is coming back, which is unheard of. Especially coming from five starting pitchers that pitched the entire year. We only had six starting pitchers the entire year. I think that's pretty good for a ball club over 162 games, you know, only to have one extra starting pitcher. So to have those guys coming back, I think it's nice knowing that we're going to have a nice solid group once again, but we're going to fill the pieces where we can fill them.
Last question for John Axford, and it's about Ryan Braun, and I don't want to get into did he do anything, did he not do anything, but obviously you know the guy, you've played with him for a couple of years. How much of a shock was it for you when you heard failed test, they're looking into it, that kind of thing?
It's definitely a huge shock. Being around Ryan like I have been the last few years, you see how much of a competitor he is and how hard he works, and you just know, you know, personally. You know, I don't want to, you know, touch too much on it myself, but personally, I'd say he didn't do anything. You know, the pride that he has for the game and the pride that he has, you know, for his work ethic is outstanding. You know, it's unmatched and unparalleled throughout the league. You know, I can almost guarantee you that. And I think to have someone like that, you know, fail a test, you just know that something else must have been up, something else must have happened, or something that, you know, he just didn't know about. So it's nothing that he did consciously by any means. I know that for sure. He has an outstanding work ethic. And like I said before, his pride would never allow him to do something like that.
All right, John, I lied because I thought of one more question. Because there seems to be some debate about, and we're here at the Baseball Canada thing, where you're actually from. I've heard Simcoe, I've heard Port Dover, I've heard a whole bunch of, well, maybe two or three different southwestern-y Ontario places. So tell us the story.
Born in Simcoe, grew up and was raised in Port Dover. So I lived in Port Dover my entire life until I finally moved away after college. So now I live just outside Hamilton.
All right, and we're happy to have you. Port Dover boy.
Yes, Port Dover.
All right, thanks so much for this continued success. It's been great watching you come pretty much out of nowhere to dominate here in the big league.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.